We call today All Saints Sunday because it is the Sunday following All Saints Day, which is always November 1st. We sang, "For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed." Those of us accustomed to churchy language that's not currently in use, we probably know what this means. I think it's easiest for us to forget that many people in our world today would not know what the word confessed means in this context. If we were explaining it to someone who's never studied Christianity, been to church, or studied religious language of any kind, and there are thousands of such all around us and in our lives, if we were to explain what our hymns and our prayers mean, we'd probably have to say something more plainly. Like, these are the saints of heaven we celebrate, who through faith and actions enabled by such faith, told the world about God, and specifically, God is known through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Life, death, and resurrection. If Jesus is our guide and our pattern, then our lives and the lives of the saints who've gone before us have the look of both life and death and some sort of resurrection. Sometimes in the lives of the saints, we see that years after their deaths. And of course, I'm speaking metaphorically here, not of their actual rising in glory. But we see with people who have done so much, even when in their lives it didn't work out quite the way they hoped at the time, we see redemption and what I'm calling resurrection. Take, for example, John Wycliffe. His feast day was this past Monday. Wycliffe lived between 1330 and 1384. He was an English philosopher and theologian whose ideas about God, church, and people and their relationship to God made him known as a reformer by some and a heretic by most. He's often known and seen as the forerunner to the Reformation, certainly the English Reformation, but you could even argue on the continent. Like so many people we honor as great saints of the church now, he was harshly condemned by the church of his time. He had a deep spirituality that supported him as he proposed shocking ideas, such as that each person has a direct relationship with God, and that everyone who could read ought to be able to read the Bible for themselves in their own language. Wycliffe was one of the first to even discuss this as a possibility, and people hated him for it. Wycliffe lived his life for God. He died having suffered, in the end, great condemnation. And where we see the resurrection and redemption of his life is that his ideas did not die, but were part of the Reformation. And interestingly, this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation beginning, which is often thought to have begun with Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the church door. So October 31st, 1517. So I think it's fun to remember Wycliffe. He was amazing. He was an amazing saint. What would we want the people out there to know about us and about the saints as we understand them and remember them? I would like them to know, and to know about us, that our saints were often revolutionary and radical, certainly for their time, and that the official structures sought to quiet them or eliminate them often. Saints challenged and expanded people's understanding of God and what the reign of God involved, such as enlarging the circle, being more inclusive, and naming idols even within the church structure itself. The Episcopal Church recognizes most, I think all, of the same people the Roman Catholic Church does from before the Reformation began. But since the Reformation, and certainly in our generations, We've also recognized saints, the people who might not meet the Roman Catholic criteria, such as performing miracles that contradict science. That's a requirement, still. So ones that we claim as saints may not have performed a miracle that contradicted science, but we see the miracle of love and the miracle of an open heart in revealing the reign of God among us. Our saints, some of them, just to name a couple and another period in history, Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. King, and Jonathan Daniels, one of our special Episcopal Church saints. Jonathan was an Episcopal seminarian who went to the South to stand for civil rights and to protect people. He ended up protecting a young girl by stepping in front of the shotgun and being killed, martyred. Both King and Daniels and many others risked, as we know, their lives, and some lost their lives, as those two did. But what they did and what they stood for, and it lives on. It lives on in us. It lives on in us in ways that we probably don't even realize. I mean, being born in 1968, so much of my experience of life has been because of what they did. So much for the better, even though we have a long way to go. So where did these Christian saints get their radical ideas, be it Wycliffe so long ago, people from the civil rights movement? Where do you think they got their ideas? Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus surprised his own followers at the time. They had hoped he was the one to lead an uprising, to free them from the yoke of Roman rule. But instead of rallying the troops and promising military victory, Jesus sat down to teach, as many great teachers of the world have. He sat down and he taught about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. Jesus taught them not specifics necessarily of what to do, but what was the reality then and there, and where the whole endeavor we call human history is headed. He told them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are, right now, the peacemakers. Blessed are, even now, the persecuted. Blessed are you when people revile you, even. Because you are blessed because you are already participating in the reign of God," Jesus was telling them. "And you know about this reign of God, which is coming into being. And so when we know this, and they knew that in the person of Jesus, and we know it now through all the great stories and living the life of faith, ours is the kingdom of heaven now. And blessed are you because you will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. You will be filled with righteousness. You will receive mercy. You will see God. You will be called children of God." Such knowledge has inspired and supported the faithful to go on missions to remote places, to challenge the ways of the church that don't seem to have much to do with the reign of God, to fight for the poor and the oppressed, to use their minds in the service of God, to start food pantries, to challenge structures, to include people such as women, people of all races, people of different sexual and gender orientations, gender identities. I could go on and on, on and on. And some in those groups, of course, also our saints, stood up for what was right, even when they knew it would put them in harm's way. Some people did this so well, not necessarily having all the success that the world might call success, but they did this so well, so faithfully, come what may, They are in our list of saints now, which continues to grow. Today, we also wrap into All Saints Sunday what is on the calendar, what we just had on November 2nd, the commemoration of all the faithful departed. They are the saints of our lives, our families, our friends, who are now in God's closer embrace. If you've been to funerals that I've conducted, you know that I always speak about the characteristics, the qualities of the person that the person who's died had that spoke to us of God, those qualities that taught us something about the reign of God. Most of us will not be noticed in such a way as to make it into a book of official saints. But each one of our family and friends and each one of us and everyone we've ever loved was and is created in God's image. And while we're kind of a mixed bag here on earth, everyone has qualities that speak to us of God, such as caring for each other, encouraging the best in people, determination for what's right, be that a sort of a smaller personal thing or something large. The gifts that they've shared with us of music, singing, writing, art, you get it. These all speak to us of the reign of God. You may wish to spend some time today thinking about how your saints in heaven showed you God in your life, something of the divine, something of God in the world. Just about every Sunday, we say the Nicene Creed. We say this together, and during the creed, one of the lines, we say that we believe in the communion of saints. The Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, a very large volume, defines the communion of saints as, quote, the spiritual union existing between each Christian and Christ, and so between each and every Christian, whether in heaven or on earth. This means that we will never be separated from the ones we love. We are forever connected, and we're connected to all the saints in heaven, the famous and the less famous. After I'd finished this sermon and was thinking about it, everything I've said is correct about the communion of saints and all of that, but I was reminded, and this is probably the spirit, I was reminded that a couple of years ago, my young cousin, who's I believe 7 at the time, Evelyn was going to a Montessori school. Now you would think a Montessori school is gonna be a safe place for people of all faiths. Well, Evelyn is Jewish, and there was a little girl in her class who was kind of crazy, actually. I mean, this kid like focused on her originally just because she really wanted to be her friend and was a little intense about it. But then she started telling Evelyn that Evelyn was not going to heaven because she's not a Christian. You know, we can talk a lot, and like I said, we're not wrong. We know what the communion of saints means within the church, but we can't stop there because, like my little cousin, I may start crying again. I do this now during sermons occasionally. My little cousin was very upset, very hurt, not to mention her mom. And, you know, even though Evelyn knows me and knows what I do and who I am, she and her mom and I talked about this. Her mom said, "What do you think of Christians now, Evelyn?" "Well, they're not very nice. They're mean." So it makes a really big difference that we say out loud that just because we know what we know about who we are, it doesn't mean that little girl knows everything, right? The grace of God is so much bigger and so much more than we can ever imagine. And I would say most Episcopalians that I know, most people I know, are what we would call universalists. And this is really the idea that God's grace, again, is so much bigger than we can ever imagine, would God let my little cousin not come into heaven because she's Jewish? And what if she were Muslim or Buddhist or atheist? God's grace is more powerful than anything that can separate us as people. And that's so important to remember and to proclaim. So, a closing thought about our community, kind of back to the home crowd here, back to our community. We choose All Saints Sunday for our pledge card in gathering intentionally. There are many Holy Comforter saints who sacrificed to found our church, to build this church, to shape it over the generations. In continuing to support the good work that they did, that we continue to do, in continuing to support this church which can be and often is a visible sign of God's amazing grace working to transform our world more and more. When we support that, we are affirming and acclaiming that we are connected to God and to all who've gone before us, that we are part of the communion of saints to the glory of God. And we can hear God say, "Blessed are you." Amen.